If you have your Bibles this morning, we will be looking at a number of different passages, and so you can go in the New Testament, and if you want to, you can be at 1 Peter chapter 3, and we'll work from there. We are wrapping up a series entitled The Original Blueprints for the Family. And in this series, we have gone back and looked in Scripture to find out how was the family to be structured. And with all the attacks that are coming on the family through our culture and through other means, there's a desire at times to redefine the family. And so we said, let's go back to the original blueprints before we start messing around with it. And what exactly does God want for the family? And so today, as we close out this series, the message is the core of marriage. The core of marriage. Now, a core is, it is a small, essential ingredient, okay? When you're looking at the core of something, it is a small, essential ingredient, which if you don't have it, your marriage will not be successful. And so if you have that right core ingredients, then you can build from that and have a successful marriage. Now, basically, all marriages are alike. The goal is for two people to try to learn to live together. It is for two people to determine what the roles are in their relationship. It is for people to understand how they operate within those roles. And then it is for two people to understand what the needs of each other are and how to meet those needs. And if you can do that, then you can get a successful marriage. And so the question is, well, tell me, what are these cores? And there are three cores that you need to have in every marriage relationship, all right? Number one is core roles that God gives a husband and wife in marriage. Core roles. Your key word there is roles. There are some core roles. Now, when you go to the Scripture says that there are titles or roles for the man and also for the woman. And we're going to put a diagram up here that will help you to understand. First of all, the Bible talks about a wife, and it says that her role is to be a helper. You say, where do you get that from? Well, God told Adam, he says, it's not good that you should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for you. So the wife, one of her roles is to be a helper. What that means is it stresses love, support, care for the members of one's family. It's a nurturing role. It's something that women naturally lean towards. They are naturally nurturers. They're naturally loyal. They're naturally more relational. And so from the wife's standpoint, it is a helper role. And when she does this, then her husband honors her in amazing ways. Proverbs 31, I just want to read you a section of that scripture when he describes this kind of woman. He says, an excellent wife who can find? Her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, and her husband also. And he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. How many times have you done that, guys, and said that? You know, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Because in her helper role, what she did was she was putting this investment into her family and also into her husband. Now, there are a lot of families out there that once you finish running the race of life, you'd love to look back and say, I'm thankful for a mother who did this, or I'm thankful for a wife who did this, who loved us, who supported us, and who cared for us. That's why Napoleon, in his reign in France, he said, France doesn't need greater armies. France needs greater mothers. Because he understood the impact that a woman can have, an impact that a mother can have on her children, an impact that a wife can have on her husband. And so every woman here, it says here, falls under that helper role. But that doesn't mean that's all she does. She does tons of other things. Every woman's life is unique. But at the core is this calling by God to be a helper, or what we would call like a servant lover. And that means she loves to serve. She's a helper. Well, now what does the scripture say about the man? Well, it says the man, it gives him the title of the head. That's a title of honor. And it stresses responsibility, protection, provision, and direction for the members of the family. And this is what it says. Ephesians 5:23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church." So that title was given by God. For the man is the head of the wife. That's the title that he carries. He's a protector. He's a provider. He's the one that sets direction for the members of the family. But when you think about that verse, when it says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is also the head of the church," what do you look at first in that verse? You look at the last line, "as Christ is to the church." And as Christ led the church and was the head of the church, the man is to lead his wife. And so when it says that the man is the head, it means that even as Christ was the head of the church and he led it through servant leader, then, and even gave his life up for the church, then the man, as the head of his family, is to be that servant leader and even give his life for his family. And so those are the core roles that we have. Wife is a helper, the man is the head. But now that we come into the second point, and that is the core responses that empower your mate's roles. You say, "What are you talking about, Dan?" Listen to this. Once you have a role, that's one thing. But then the question is, how does a wife respond to her husband that empowers him to truly be the head of the family? And how does the husband respond to the wife so that she can truly have that role of helper? Let's take a look at that. Because these are the keys to make these roles work. For the wife, we'll put a diagram up here. And for the wife, it's got here honor and praise. Honor and praise. She needs a response from her husband of honor and praise. And actually, those arrows are reversed, just to let you know that. Actually, it should be the husband is to honor and praise his wife, and the wife is to submit to the husband, okay? So as you're drawing this out, you need to reverse those, okay? The wife, they're loving it, saying, "Hey, this is great over here." And the husband, or you could say it complains. The husband's constantly complaining because my wife doesn't submit. And then the wife is constantly complaining, "My husband doesn't honor and praise me." So you can look at it that way. But we'll look at it from a positive standpoint. And that is that what a husband is to do for his wife is he is to honor and praise her. That passage I told you, look in your Bibles, 1 Peter 3:7. In 1 Peter 3:7, this is what it says. It says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman." Showing honor to the woman. Now he says, live with her in an understanding way. We talked a little bit about that last week, that sometimes those understanding ways are difficult because of communication differences. But it says that we are to honor our wife. That means that in order for a wife to invest herself in her home and to give her life to investing in her home, she needs to receive the honor and praise from her husband. And she needs to know that what she's doing is important and that he appreciates that. The husband needs to continually remind his wife how important that support is in his life and in the family. For a wife to invest in the children, all the things that occur with a child's life, for her to feel that what she's doing is significant and important, the husband must continually be verbalizing in all kinds of different ways to his wife how important her nurturing is to the life of their children and the overall success of her marriage. She needs constant honor and praise from him. Now, the husband in Proverbs 31 understood it. What's amazing is when you look at Proverbs 31, we always talk about the wife and all the great things she did, which is wonderful. But the husband got it, and he praised his wife, and he thanked her. He says, "I thank you for what you're doing in our home. I thank you for what you're doing in my life. I thank you for what you're doing with our children. I thank you for what you're doing in the community. I thank you for the way that you've invested your life and touched other lives. And I want to tell you, I'm proud of you." There was honor, and there was praise. When a woman hears honor and praise, and she's rewarded for that, she feels a greater sense of significance as it comes out of the life of her husband. And she's saying right here, that makes me feel more significant because what I'm doing, you appreciate. And so I think every woman here would respond to honor and praise. I've never met anyone that says, "Boy, last thing I want is him to tell me I'm doing a good job." You know, every woman would respond to honor and praise. And so men, as the head of the family, in order to empower our wives in that helper, nurturing role, when they're doing that, let's honor them and praise them. That's a part of what we're supposed to do. Well, then you get, okay, what's the wife supposed to do to empower the husband in his role as the head? That's where the S word comes in, submission. All right, the submission word. Now, the submission word, if you looked in the passage, Colossians 3:18 says this, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Colossians 3:18, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. And we're going to build off of that a little bit. Now, when submission, you ask yourself, why submission? Well, it really is pretty simple. You can't have two heads. Two heads of anything is a monster. So if you've got a family and you say somebody's got to be the head, who's going to be the head? Well, the scripture says that the man is to be the head, okay? So if he's going to be the head, then what does the woman need to do? She needs to be willing to submit and to be able to complement his leadership and not compete for his leadership. Because when there's competition for leadership, then that's when you've got problem in the home. And so that's where the submission comes in. I saw a great definition that he had for submission, and it's this. Submission, stepping out of the way and not undercutting your husband's leadership. Waiting and letting him take charge. Hey, he's supposed to be the leader, let him take charge. Stepping out of the way and not undercutting your husband's leadership. I kind of laughed about this Friday night. We were going to go to a movie. And so as we're driving down the road to head towards the movie, Jen's smiling, heading towards the movie, we're going down Rocky Ridge Road, and we were going to go to Patton Creek. So the question is, do you keep going down Rocky Ridge and get on Lorna and then go over to Patton Creek, or do you take a left on Old Rocky Ridge and go get on 459? Well, I love that little flyover deal. It's something about it when you're coming around the corner and you see everything there. It kind of pumps me up. But there are times when I've done that, and I've sat on 459 for, 2 days on there. And so we're driving, and we get right to that stoplight where you got to make that call. Do I go left to get on Old Rocky Ridge? Do I keep going straight? And I asked her, I said, hey, which way do you go? Does it matter? And she said, oh, it doesn't matter to me. You choose. You make whatever choice you want to. And so we took that left. As soon as I'm going on 459. And so I took the left going 459. She's sitting there, got the fingernail file working on there, and she said, well, I don't think I'd have gone there at this time of the night. And I looked over at her, and I'd been working on this sermon, so I smiled and I leaned over to her and said, I just want to thank you so much for setting aside and allowing me to make that decision, not undercutting my leadership. I said, you let me make that decision. I said, you're not real crazy about it, but you did let me make the decision, and I appreciate that. I said, I thank you for that. And it was the right way. We didn't have any traffic. Probably wouldn't have any traffic the other way either, but it was kind of a funny thing because it's like she said, you make the decision. And she's joking with me. She's not sitting there nagging me the whole time. Can't believe you did this. She just made a comment on it. It was great. But see, what submission is it's kind of like stepping out of the way and letting the husband lead and make decisions. But now, let me give you three disclaimers to submission. Are you ready? These are three disclaimers to submission. Number one, submission does not mean a yes person. Write this down, husbands and wives. Submission does not mean a yes person. It doesn't mean that a woman goes around and says, yes, dear, to everything. That is not what submission is. Number two, submission is not a man's to demand from his wife. It's only for a wife to give to her husband. Submission is not a man's to demand from his wife. It is only for a wife to give for her husband. It's an attitude that she has because she wants him to be the kind of man that God wants him to be. When a man starts initiating, it's very easy for a woman to yield and say, take the lead, because she feels protected and cared for from a guy that's demonstrating that kind of responsible initiative. You can't demand submission. It is something that a wife needs to desire because she wants to be able to see her husband become the godly man he was created to be. And number three, submission does not mean enabler of wrongdoing. It only means empowering right doing. Submission does not mean enabler of wrongdoing. It only means empowering right doing. Now, One of the big questions that I'll get, women will say, should I give in to my husband who wants to do things that are wrong? Do I just need to be submissive when he's asking to do things that are wrong? The answer is no. And she says, well, I thought I was supposed to submit. I come back and say, no, you're supposed to confront. And if he doesn't listen, and if he's doing something wrong, then you go find, come to the church, go find some guys, and we'll go out there and straighten him out. And we'll talk to him about that, to say that this just didn't right. So submission is not an enabling of wrongdoing. What it does, it empowers right doing. So it's all the attitude over here. And so what the submission is that I want to empower my husband to do the right thing. Men, if you're doing things that are unethical or things that are just flat out wrong, and you're expecting your wife to submit to that, the answer is no. And that is not what she's called to do. And so that's when, if you're as a woman running those situations, then you come looking for some help. We got some big beefy guys that can help you with that. Okay? All right. So whatever a woman does for her husband, it says that the woman should submit as is fitting to the Lord. So whatever she does for her husband, it should encourage godly leadership, not an ungodly leadership. And what a husband needs from his wife is the kind of empowerment that's constantly encouraging him to take leadership. Protect me. Be responsible. Tell me where we're heading in the relationship. And when you do that, it plays right into God's original creation. It plays right into his creation. And the creation that he had was, he created Adam first. He was to be a leader. He created Eve second. Then she was to be a helper and a supporter for that. And when a wife is being submissive to that husband and empowering his leadership, and he's honoring and praising his wife, you get into a wonderful cycle that makes for a strong marriage. Does that make sense? And you know that if anyone drops the ball, it makes it more difficult. Because if the woman is submitting and investing her life into the home and the children, and the man gives her no honor, no praise, is constantly criticizing her, it makes it more difficult for her to continue to submit to that kind of leadership. And there's a frustration there. And if on the other hand, if he is honoring and praising his wife, but yet she refuses to submit to him, it makes it more difficult for the man to continue to honor and praise her. But when both those are hitting on all cylinders, whoo, that's the way it's supposed to work. That's the way God created marriage to work. And so those are the core responses that will empower your mate with their role. Now, let me close out with this. And those are core concerns that meet your mate's deepest needs. Core concerns that meet your mate's deepest needs. Now, the wife is the helper. The husband is the head. All right? The man is to give honor and praise to his wife. And the wife is to be submissive towards her husband. Now, there are some essentials that need to take place in order for this to work. And what it is a wife has got to give some things to her husband, and her husband has got to give some things to the wife. Are you ready for this? Here we go. Number one. First one is the wife needs to give companionship to her husband. Listen, a man wants a companion. A man doesn't want to be alone. What a man oftentimes, he wants a woman that will do some things with him. He wants her to join in with him on the activities. So what a man wants is a man wants a companion. Number two is a man wants admiration. A man wants admiration. Every woman, the three words that a woman wants a man to say is what? What are the three words that every woman wants her husband to tell her? I love you. Or maybe it's pick up the kids. I'm not sure which. But it's I love you. Every woman loves to hear her husband to say I love you. You know what every man wants to hear from his wife? He likes the wife to say I am proud of you. You want to see him kind of sit up a little bit in his chair and... You tell him you're proud of him. He's shocked. Really? I am so proud of the way that you handle that. I just want to tell you, I love the way that you're leading our family. I like the way you handled this thing over there. That was good. That'll get me going for a long time. You know? I remember I told you all the illustration, you know, after I cut the grass or so, my wife came out and said, ooh, the yard looks great. I go, hey, that's good. And it was just cutting grass. Just thinking you're doing something in leadership, and all of a sudden your wife just comes up and says, I'm proud of you. A man wants admiration. Tell him that you're proud of him, okay? Number three, he also needs her support. Because, you see, life is hard, and there are a lot of pressures in the world today. And if a man has taken the kind of initiative that he needs, he knows that he's supposed to take, he also needs to know that he's being encouraged and cared for. What's interesting, when we fought the war in Desert Storm, it says for every soldier that was on the front lines, there were 7 support soldiers behind him. And you know, when you're out on the front lines, you need to have that support behind you. And so what every man needs, he needs that support. He needs a wife that will be there to support him. In World War II, when you study the history of World War II, Hitler was on a roll, and he made a huge mistake. And one of the huge mistakes that he made was he had a front, a Western front over here, where he was fighting the Allies, and then he took a second offensive against Russia. And when he went after Russia, what he did was he divided up his troops, he divided his fuel lines, he divided his supply lines, and what happens is he ran out of fuel, he ran out of supplies, and then he got beat. And you know what's happening in marriages? Is that some of the same things are happening. Is that we're setting up our areas here to where both people are either trying to lead or this person's so involved here that this person can't give them any type of support. And they're stretched out. And as they're stretched out so far, their fuel lines, their supply lines, that support that they need to keep that marriage going, to keep going strong, they get removed. And what happens is when a husband or a wife does not receive the support that they think they should get, they look for a third party. And they begin to graft in a third party into this relationship because that's the person that can give them that support. And that's when a marriage really gets in trouble. And so what you want is from a woman to give to a man, give him your support. And last of all, men need physical responsiveness. And I'll close with that. Okay? All right. And y'all can talk about that at home. All right. Physical responsive. Now, let's move to the second. Everybody's laughing over here. Okay, let's go into some detail. No, okay. Next slide. Okay, here we go. Second. This is what a wife needs to give to her husband. But what does a man need to give to his wife? What does a husband need to give to his wife that will help her, empower her, and meet her needs? Okay? This is what a man needs to give. First of all, companionship. The same thing. You say, hey, a man needs companionship for his wife. His wife needs companionship for her husband. The number one complaint, I laughed when I was doing this preparation. I said, surveys have shown there's a number one complaint that women have about their husbands. I said, would I be bold enough to ask you to tell me what you think that is? And I said, I'd probably get 63 answers. So let me just tell you what it is. They think the number one complaint is that my husband just won't talk to me. My husband just won't talk to me. You know, what a wife wants is someone that will talk to her. She's an immensely relational creature, and much of her well-being in a relationship is related to how well she's verbally and emotionally connected to a man. She wants to have a man where she can open up her life, talk about her world. And if he'll open up his life and talk about his world, whoa, Johnny, tell us what they've won, then they'll be engaged in an intense kind of companionship because he's opened his life, she's opened her life, and that's what they want. And you see, that's what a woman wants from a man. And guess what? For all you guys that were married, that's what we gave her when we dated. Because when we dated, we were there every minute of the day, weren't we? We just wanted to talk to her. Or in today's thing, let's text each other, you know, and let's talk and young people, we used to do those things. It was like a face-to-face thing. It's incredible. You didn't have to go on the computer and write something in a Facebook or so, and then go, "Are you being sarcastic? Are you being loving? I don't know what you mean by that." And then you got to come back and forth. Oh my gosh. It is so much easier to get face to face, you know? And you look right here and you look at a guy like Adam Jones who just completed the bar exam and passed. Hey, I worked that in the sermon, didn't it? Great. Congratulations over here. But see, I said, hey, you completed the bar exam. That's good. Now, I could have typed it in there and said, you completed the bar exam. That's good. What? You think you're being sarcastic or are you loving on me on here? This is great. Face to face. And we used to do that when we dated. Oh, we spent all the time with him. You wrote some poems. You don't ever want anybody else to see those poems, do you? You wrote little poems to her. You wrote some notes to her. You sang songs to her. Oh, much. How much did Michael sing to you? Oh, my goodness. No, tell him. I mean, ad nauseum. I mean, you're so sweet. And you did this elaborate proposal. And you got to the wedding vows, and you said, I do, and she says, I do, and then we as men said, I quit. That's it. The conquest is done. The marriage is there. Oh, my goodness. You know, what a wife wants is that companionship, and guys, if you're married, you know how to do this because you practiced it. Because that's why she was attracted to you. Because what she thought she was getting is this man that would open up and talk to her. But instead of a deep well of togetherness, what happens is there becomes a creeping separateness over the years. And instead of what you would think would be something that would continue to build, there becomes this separation. And she loses that, and she longs for that companionship. Number two, well, what are some things you can do? These aren't on the screen, but just regularly date your wife. Take her out. Do something with her. Have a date night with her. Go out and just ask her some questions about what's going on. Develop something that you can do together. You know, some people, they jog together. I've heard people, they ride motorcycles together. Some go fishing together. Some go to movies together. Some go to the beach together. Find something to do together. Or maybe just a special getaway that you can get away. Just you and your spouse. Just leave the kids, lock them in the closet, get a sitter, send them out to the grandparents, and just do a getaway to where y'all can get away and kind of rekindle the romance and just begin to talk about things in life and say, hey, well, let's begin to dig that well of togetherness again. Secondly, they have a great need for security, a great need for security. A woman needs to know that her man is taking care of her. Now, listen to this. Today, we have women that are flooding into the marketplace. And as women flood into the marketplace, sometimes you can think that women can take care of themselves, and many of them, in fact, can. Sometimes they can out-earn and outwork their husbands in significant ways. But this is what I want every guy to hear. What is true of the workplace is not true for a woman in marriage. Those are whole two different subjects. You see, a wife needs and wants a man who will care for and protect her and provide for her, especially financially. A woman who gives her life to you wants to know that you're going to protect and care for her, especially through that financial sphere of life. She needs to know that you're making her world safe to fulfill her life as a woman. And that goes beyond the workplace. She needs to know that you're making it safe for her to be able to go into whatever walk of life it is, which is not just in the community, but also in the home and with children. So a wife needs a man who will support and provide for her. Now, she may choose to work, and that's great if she does. She may make a great income. That's great. But that's not the point of whether she works or not. The real point is that somewhere along the line, if she chooses to focus on home and children, she needs to know that you're supporting her in that and not keeping her from it just because you need the money. Now, I think it's real important, especially for this new generation of guys coming up, because in this new generation, young men have an expectation that my wife is going to take care of me. And folks, I got to tell you, that's just the opposite of the God-given role to men. And so guys, I speak to whether it be single adult men, young people here, college students, whatever, that is not the wife's role to financially take care of you. That's being a wimp. Okay, your role is to take care of her. That's your desire. You know what? Y'all may get married. She may make more money than you. But it is still your role to take care of her and say, I want to take care of her. And this is nothing about women not working. So they can do that, great. But it is the man's responsibility to take care of her. George Barner did a poll of young men under 30 and found that 9 out of 10 young men in America today expect their wife will continue to work regardless of any circumstances. Now, it's just not how God intended it. She can work. She may want to work. You may agree for her to work. That's good. I have no problem with it. That's your choice. But I think what a man needs to be able to do is try to provide financially so his wife has the choice. And when children come, if she wants to stay at home, she can stay at home. If she wants to work, that's her choice, then she can work. But I think as a man, we need to provide the security for her so she can make that choice to do what it is that she wants to do. And so as a God-given man who is the head, that gives the wife security. And so here's just a few things to give a wife security. From time to time, it would really be nice for you to remind her of your deep commitment to her. Security is more than just finances. It is, are you ever going to leave me? Am I fearful that you're going to divorce me? Men, every so often, just need to just look her in the eyes and give her your commitment to her. And let her know that you love her. Also, set some financial disciplines. Set some savings accounts. Have a retirement account. Have a will. Have your insurance lined up. Have all these things done so that she doesn't have to worry about those things and say, hey, if anything ever happens to us, we're taken care of. That gives your wife incredible security there. Okay? Number three, significance. As a husband to his wife, what a wife needs is significance. James Dobson says, 90% of our self-concept is built from what others think about us. Whew, is that something? And for any woman who's giving her life, as all women do, nobly, sometimes to the work world and then also to home and children and husband and all that, those women especially, and the emphasis they give to their home, they need to be constantly feeling your appreciation for what they do. That's one of their more significant works. For any woman, and what's interesting, especially if a woman's been in the workforce and then all of a sudden they have children and she stays at home, she realizes that you don't ever get plaques to put on the wall that says, hey, great job. You don't ever win the trip to the Bahamas because you did a great science project for your third grade child. You don't get a whole lot of attaboys when you're running the carpool and when you're taking them to dance and to sports and to all these other things along that way. You just don't get rewards on there. And so what a man needs to do is where the honor and praise comes in, needs to say thank you for what you do. Regularly tell your wife how much you value what she does. And whether it's what she does in the workforce or whether she does at home, you need to let her know that there is significance and you value that. Surprise your wife. Some of the times to do this is surprise her. Write her a sweet note. Maybe add flowers to it. Take her out to eat sometime and just sit down and say, hey, I just wanted to come out and tell you how much I appreciate you, how much I love you. I mean, guys, these are some simple things. But then, every so often, and boy, it's tough when I preach this because, see, I'm going to be held to this. Every so often, you want to lavish them with something maybe kind of expensive. Maybe you could do something really special for them. And, I remember, guys, we were talking about some things that we were going to try to do for our wives for anniversaries or so. And then Bill McMahon over here, look at him, he's getting nervous. He comes up and he was living down the street from me and he says, yeah, he says, I said, hey, I missed you. He said, well, yeah, it was Jennifer's birthday, anniversary, our anniversary. So I surprised her and flew her out to Las Vegas and we went to a Celine Dion concert and then came on back. I'm standing there. I was getting ready to take my wife to Ruby Tuesdays, and I got a coupon with a free entree. And I'm saying, well, you just ruined it for every guy over here. There were a bunch of us standing around going, well, I feel great. So he just raised the bar on us on there. So do something kind of lavish, okay? Think of something that can show your wife how much significance that she has. And the very last thing, and that's emotional responsiveness. Emotional responsiveness. Your wife has a deep need for us as men to be emotionally responsive to our wife. You know that she has a world of deep feelings. She needs to know your heart. She needs to hear your heart. And men, I've learned this the hard way, is when she tells you what's going on in her life, she doesn't need you to sit there and say, well, let me tell you how I can fix that real quick. We're great at that, aren't we? Share your heart. Let me know what it is you need. That's good. That's good. Okay. Hey, now in the next 30 seconds, I'm going to give you a list of three things you can do. You can fix that up. I can go back to watching my ball game. This is not emotional responsiveness, okay? All right? And see, some of you guys say, yeah, you're right, Danny, 30 seconds. The commercials now are 3 minutes. I can do it in 3 minutes. No. What emotional responsiveness is when you have the time and make the time to ask your wife, how's your world? And then for her to be able to answer that question and you to be able to listen. And then for her to come back and say, how's your world? And for you to be honest and say, tell you the truth, I'm either a little stressed, I'm a little discouraged. And then she says, tell me why. And you explain it to her. You'll be amazed. And see, you're sitting there saying this stuff and you're going, oh, I just feel bad telling her. She's eating this up, okay? Because she's listening to you. And you're going to be amazed because as she listens to you, she's got that nurturing spirit over here in her heart and she's going to want to support you. She's going to be able to share some things with you that you're going to say, wow, yeah, I never thought about that. And it's that emotional responsiveness. And when that happens, then all of a sudden you begin to see that relationship get closer and tighter. See, for guys, what we can do is that we can give companionship and we can give that that significance, that security, and then that emotional responsiveness. Honoring and praising our wives, wives, submitting to the husband. And when that happens, it works out together. I think Abraham Lincoln had it right when he says, the strength of a nation lies in the homes of its people. The strength of a nation lies in the homes of its people. I think this is a pretty good blueprint. And what happens is that our world is trying to mess with all of this. And when the world tries to mess with this, I think it's just going to make things worse. Personally, I think we need to stick with the blueprint that God has given us. And if we stick with those blueprints, I think it will assure us of strong homes. And we have these strong homes, then it makes for good marriages, good kids, and it helps us to be a lighthouse so that we can share the gospel with others. Okay? Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a moment. Father, I'm so thankful for your word and just practical things that you can give us so that we can strengthen our homes and have those core issues right. But Father, I understand that in order for a marriage to be strong, there is a huge core issue that needs to be dealt with, and that is our sinfulness. And I pray right now that you will speak to each one of our hearts. And Lord, if there are any here who have never gotten right with their relationship with God, that today would be the day that they would do that, and they would settle that. And once that part is settled, then you can begin to work on the other issues. And so, Lord, that's our prayer today, that your Holy Spirit would move unhindered, speak to the hearts of our people, helping them to respond to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.